One, two, three. Ah, yes, nice to sit. All right, going to ask you this morning to open your Bibles to the 23rd Psalm. And we're looking at Lead Me Beside the Still Waters, and we're going to call this part two. And many of you already know the 24th Psalm. I'm sorry, the 23rd Psalm. And as we take a look at it this morning, I'm going to read it, but as I read it, I want you to kind of outline it as you see it before you in plain black and white. And again, this is the 23rd Psalm found in the Old Testament. If you've got a big, thick Old New Testament Bible, if you break it right in the middle, sometimes you'll end over in the book of Psalms. So, and if you don't have a Bible with you, there's probably one in front of you. If you're looking at a hymnal, that's not a Bible. So you'll want to pick up the Bible, look there with me, because you'll want to be able to eat and feed on this yourself. So Lead Me Beside the Still Waters, the 23rd Psalm, and I'm going to read it out of the King James translation. But listen, as I read it, I want you to see, if you don't see this really quick outline. The first one is that God provides. God provides. And you'll see it. And then God, point number two, God protects. God protects. And then the third point you'll see is we read it together, you're going to see that God prepares. So God provides, God protects, God prepares. So I'm going to read it out of the New King James translation and see if you see the outline as it comes to you, okay? And I'll even stop and say, did you see that? So let's see, as God prepares, or I'm sorry, as God provides. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Does anybody remember what that means, I shall not want?
I am satisfied
with God being my shepherd. Because God does these following things. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So in those verses right there, you should quickly be able to see that God provides. And in verse number four, we're going to see that the Lord protects, that God protects. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are what? With me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then the third point is found in verses 5 and 6, where the Lord prepares. It says this, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. For how long? Forever. So talking about this forever place, heaven. So the Lord provides, as we see there in the scripture, the Lord protects. And the Lord prepares. Well, there in verse number four, as we see the Lord protects, we want to focus on that just for a few moments this morning. And as you look at the verse, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. When the young shepherd boy David was out in the deserts, minding his father's sheep. He was the son of Jesse, had 8 brothers. While he was out in the desert as a young boy, in under the starry skies and taking care of the sheep and sitting under that crackling fire, he penned out these words as he was moved by God the Holy Spirit. But did you know that in looking at this, I found that there was a place called the Valley of the Shadow of Death, in which the shepherds had to walk their sheep. Because in that Valley of the Shadow of Death, as they called it, was the place in which the robbers, the gangsters, you know, MS-13 and the rest of them, well, maybe not MS-13, but you know, way back when, hung out, all the rebels, and they would accost the shepherds, they would take their sheep, they would take whatever they had, and so they walked through that. They were very concerned, and young David used that as an illustration of how God protects. Yea, though I walk through the valley, through this valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil. Many of you already know the last place you want to be when you talk about battlefield tactics is you don't want to be in the valley. Where do you want to be? On the mountaintop. You want to look down. You don't want to be down in the bottom because you're your weakest moment. Remember the Indians would always get the cowboys down in the valleys, and then they'd sit behind the rocks and shoot arrows. And anyway, that's another story. But I mean, you know, the valley was the worst place to be because you were the most vulnerable. You were the weakest. You could be ambushed easy. And many times, as David wrote this out, you know, he had to walk through that valley of the shadow of death. And as he walked through there, he says, "I will feel no evil. I won't fear those things that oppose me. They're out to get me." And it's a hard thing. And we've already talked about that this morning. And I think there was an illustration used in our Sunday school lesson about fear. I will fear no evil. That's faith in the Lord, isn't it? Why? And what does fear do to us? And we all know it. We get these phobias, which comes from the Greek word. We can have a fear of heights. We can have a fear of water, hydrophobia. We can have all these different fears. But God is not the engineer of fear. I mean, he gives us common sense. But when God is with us, we have the confidence to know, even though I'm fearful in this situation, God has this. I will fear no evil. I'm not worried because God has this. Even though I'm walking through this valley of the shadow of death, God has me. Well, does that mean nothing will not happen to you? No, because do bad things happen to people who follow God? Yes, but why don't you fear evil? Because God trumps evil. God oversees the situation. He allows things to happen in our life so that he can come out and be seen as the glorious king and receive all the glory for it. You know, use Martha and Lenten as an illustration. You know, I'll feel no evil. My water pump's broke, but I'm still going to continue on and do the ministry. So we see the illustration even here. And he says, "For your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Both what the shepherd would carry. One is to protect. They would use the staff to whack at the wolves and the bears and whatever else. We know that David even killed a lion while a shepherd boy, and also provide guidance. They would hear that. But as I look at this about God protecting and all these different things, I started to look and think about the illustrations throughout the Bible of how God actually walks through the valley of the shadow of death, how he protects and how he secures us through this, and we'll fear no evil. I thought about what is a good illustration. I could come up with a lot that are written in books or whatever, but I always like the ones that come out of the Bible. They're the best because people are living their faith. Does that make sense? So I find myself over in the book of Daniel, and I'm looking at these guys called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These are some guys that had to walk. "Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me." They lived that walk. So I'm going to read out of the book of Daniel just for a moment, and I want you to see some things that took place in their walk of faith. Now, Dr. Adrian Rogers, bless his heart, he was the pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church many years ago. And I heard him preach out of this text in the book of Daniel. And he said, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, and they wouldn't burn. Which I thought, wow, I like alliteration. They wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, and they wouldn't burn. And these guys paid, because they, as I thought about this past week, who sets the best representation of, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil"? It would be the top runner-up would be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you remember, as I get ready to tell this to you or read it to you, the citizens of Israel had been carried away into Babylon because they'd been disobedient to God. They're now under captivity. They are now under the captivity as someone who worships many, many different gods. Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon, and he's going to make a directive or a policy that they should, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all the people, that they needed to bow down to an idol that they had created. Now, I'm going to read Daniel chapter 3, verse 1, as we see this illustrated out. And listen for this again. Listen for this, that they would not bow, they would not bend, they would not burn. Listen to it. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. That'd be some like 90 feet high. And I was in this desert, this exact desert, when I was in Iraq where this was put up. And you know, you could see 90 feet a long way off. It would be like looking across a dining room table with nothing on it but a piece of salt. And the dining room table stretches 10 feet. And if you look straight across it, do you think you'd see that piece of salt? Yes. Do you get the illustration? You're looking across the table like this, eye level. Would you see that little piece of salt? Yes. And it's the way of the plain of Dura. It was just completely flat. Anything that would be raised up could be seen from a long, long distance. Its width was 6 cubits. It's set up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon, which was modern-day Iraq. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had made. Then a herald cried aloud to you, as it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages. I mean, he's speaking to all these people that are in Babylon, and he says this, that when the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, this kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace, so that the time when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the symphony with all kinds of music, all the people and the nations and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke to and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and psaltery and symphony with all the kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you, and they do not serve your gods of worship the gold image which you have set up. They would not bow. They would not bow. The first part of Adrian Rogers' sermon. And it said, then Nebuchadnezzar in a rage and fury gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I've set up? Now, if you already in time, you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I made. Good. But if you do not worship, you will be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God and who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, now listen, we saw they would not bow. We're going to see they would not bend. Listen to what's said in the scriptures. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Wow. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your king, or your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known, O king, that you do not serve your gods. We do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Man, what an illustration. They wouldn't bend. They weren't going to do it. They're not going to bend to whatever the king said, and they weren't going to bow down before that golden idol. They just weren't going to do it. Now look at the last part. I love it. It's great. This will get you fired up. And it says this about they will not burn. Verse 19, the Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression of his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he spoke and commanded that they heat up the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, and their turbans, and their other garments, and they were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now that's a hot fire. And the Bible says, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. The king Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to the counselors, did we not cast these three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose in the fire, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the king, and the counselors gathered together, and they saw those men, and on whose body the fire has no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree of any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made into an ash heap. They wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, and the Bible says they wouldn't what? Burn. The best illustration. And as I read this, it talks about in the middle of this fiery furnace. It's a perfect example of, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what happens? Thou art with me. Who was the fourth person in the fiery furnace? Jesus, walking with them. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They protect me in the midst of this situation. What a beautiful illustration. And the Bible says that they said there was an angel that protected them. Did you know in the book of Psalms, the Bible tells us that we have an angel that watches over us? Do you remember the illustration? I remember as a small child the illustration of a little baby or a child in bed and an angel over the top. It was an old black and white picture. How many of you remember that? How comforting was that picture? Now I lay me down to sleep, my soul to keep. That the angel of the Lord watched over them. I believe it just didn't happen in the Old Testament, and just not in the New Testament. But I believe that even in 2018, God still has his saints protected by angelic realm that watches over us. I believe that. Now you say, well, what about when you die? What happens to the angel? He probably goes somewhere else. You got to watch over somebody else. How many of you did things as a kid you should have died from? Something should have happened, and God watched over you. God took care of you. I believe that as I look back at it, something else supernatural was watching over J.D. Moore on the silly things I did. Did you know that God even told the Satan himself that there was a hedge of protection around Job? See, I believe God still protects his saints. Even though we go through difficult trials and troubles and problems, evil cannot consume us unless the Lord so wills. And when it even consumes us, God can still get the glory for it. You say, well, Pastor, that doesn't even make sense. Do you have an illustration of that? Yes, Jesus. Evil consumed the Son of God. They laid him on the cross, and God willingly gave his life. Have no mistake there. But he let evil have its way with him. And they put him in the tomb, and God was glorified at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because you can't hold a good man down or the only God down. Amen? So here we've got this perfect illustration. Even when things do happen, when God does allow those things to happen, if we're so strong in our faith, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God is able to bless. If we are willing to give that testimony that even though I'm in the middle of this, let me ask you this question. When we go through the valley of the shadow of death, what do we normally do? Freak out. Do we act like we're people beside the still waters? No. We get all upset. Who's watching? There's a King Nebuchadnezzar in your life that's watching you. He's watching me to see, even though they go through this fiery trial and this difficult time, what are they going to do? How are they going to act? How are they going to behave? Are they going to be like Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, down in the bottom of the dungeon, you know, stripped naked and beaten, and you find them doing what? Complaining? No, what were they doing? They were singing songs and praying to the Heavenly Father, and they were King Nebuchadnezzar's all over the wall there, because it says in that scripture in Acts chapter number 16, the other prisoners did what? They heard them in the midst of the darkness. Even though they were going through this valley of the shadow of death, guess who was with them? God. Did God deliver Paul and Silas from that situation in Acts chapter 16? Yes. My grandson came to me this past week. He's in Awana's, and his memory verse was Acts 16, verse 31, where it says, and he believed and accepted Christ, and he and his household was saved. That was talking about Acts 16, when Paul and Silas went through that valley, God watched over them, and the jailer was going to kill himself after they were loosed. And God, they were glorified in the middle of all that. What a wonderful thing. So the question is, to us, to me, is this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, how do I act through that? Can I be more like the one who's not going to bow, the one not going to bend, and give God the glory through it all? Do I believe in supernatural powers today that still you can go through a situation and God will deliver you out of it? And the answer to that is 100% yes. Well, what about death? God's still going to deliver you through death. That's what Jesus is all about. How many of you think you will escape death? Any hands? I found that when I was younger, I would say, if I ever die, I'm going to do such and such. I would like such and such. When I reached a certain age, you know what? I started to change that and would say this. When I die, and I think, I'm not sure I'm not there yet. Some of you could verify this. But some of you don't even buy green bananas anymore. I mean, you know that it's on its way, amen? And it's be a reality of life. But when it happens, listen, God will still walk through the valley of the shadow of death with you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to leave you. So even when that time comes, God's got you covered. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of me. And what we need to do is stay over there and where the still waters run, in calm assurance that he's got this. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this morning, we're so thankful of the wonderful, wonderful true story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they so so greatly illustrate your protection over your people. There's not anything on the powers of this earth. Nothing shall remove us from the love of God. Principalities and powers and all these things that are out there will not remove us from the love of God. We are thankful, Lord. Help us to stay planted by the still waters. Through your word, help us to know that you provide, but not only that, but that you protect. And we ask these things in the blessed name of Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. We're going to sing a song of...